This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
So here goes then, Leicester, Crystal Palace. What do I say? Where do I start? Welcome to the Crystal Palace Fan Show. Let's start with that. At Love Sport Radio, we've got got Nick from the back of the net.
That
podcast.
Was nearly Dick and Neil then, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, you two. The two smiling and laughing in the corner, I presume, who have been counting down the days, the minutes, the seconds, until you get to come on Love Sport Radio and tell me just about your weekend. I mean, was it good?
Well, yeah, it was good. 4-1, and now having to speak to a Leicester fan for another 2 hours, it's going to get much better. It still hasn't stopped. Spirits are high at Palace.
I ask, chaps, is that just cast your minds back to last week. If you remember, we were talking about the game. Can you remember exactly what I said?
I remember what I said. I don't remember what you said.
Were you not listening?
I was.
Because I remember what you said.
What did I say?
I can't remember.
Exactly.
you kind of conceded that you'd be a bit pants because you never know what Leicester are going to turn up. What makes it better for me, though, is you're not a plastic Leicester fan, so it's going to hurt more than any of the bandwagoners that have come in. Just to go back to Glad All Over, I was thinking about this earlier on. It's a bit out of date now. I'm just wondering if DR could do a kind of drill version of Glad All Over.
We've spoke about DR's
singing,
music interests, and singing before. I'm not sure it's right for this station.
It'd be weird, it won't be right for this station.
Even DR agrees.
Even for Palace, it would just be out of order. Maybe you could do it.
Yeah, but man like gossip.
Man like gossip, yeah. Look, you've got your, you know what you're doing, so go ahead.
I would be very, very interested indeed in hearing that. I mean, you're a man from the music industry, right? Bit of background in that. You should know what you're talking about. You could produce something.
I don't know. Might be able to, but
that we'll can be see. Your homework for next week.
All right, okay. Never mind my normal work.
Yeah.
We haven't all got 90 hours free a week like you single people who don't do any work at uni.
Why are you pointing at me for?
I thought you were talking about single people and then I pointed at you, then you talked about
uni. I'm a happy single man, DR.
Oh, yeah.
Single by choice.
I'm busy.
Enjoying life.
Yeah, right.
Watching Leicester City at the weekends. That's all I need in my life. But look, you mentioned, like, you know, not a plastic Leicester City fan. To be fair, I think that's a bit of an unfair statement to make. I don't think there are that many plastic Leicester City fans.
There are. Just look at your Twitter following after you won the Premiership. It just increased crazy. Trust me, your fan base increased massively after that. No, without any disrespect, it's similar to Palace. Around the world, who really knew Leicester? Who really knows Palace like that as much? But it increased significantly after you won the Premier League.
Undoubtedly, but I wouldn't call them fans. Do you know the people going to the games are fans?
But they're still they think they're fans.
How are they not? We were selling out long before we won the Premier League.
Yeah, but you still got increased bandwagon fans.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's our point. There's nothing else.
I will say, when we got promoted to the first division in 1979, after we had 51,000 at Selhurst crammed in to watch us beat Burnley, my dad decided to move us to Cornwall. And there was a lot of chagrin on my part when suddenly kids in Cornwall were coming to school with Crystal Palace bags. The replica shirt hadn't quite taken off then. But yeah, a couple of years ago, when Leicester won the league, there were kids down my local park with Leicester tops on. So it's
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the course, though, isn't it? If something happens,
well,
like
that's what
that,
I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Well, when I say kids, 40-somethings.
I don't think you should be taking. I don't think you should be taking pleasure in beating Leicester City because of the plastic fans, because of the title that we won a few years ago. Come on, DR, let it go, man.
I didn't say he said it.
Come on, DR.
I've got two words to say.
Come
to
on,
you.
Then. What?
Blackburn Rovers.
What about them?
They won the league. Where are they now?
Still. A football club,
yeah,
with a trophy cabinet which has a Premier League trophy in it.
I know you want to say it that Palace don't.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
No. But 100, like deadly serious. Like, I don't want this show to be about, oh, I'm Leicester, you're Crystal Palace, we're bigger, we're better, and all that nonsense, because it is completely not irrelevant. You know, I'm not that kind of football fan. I have no interest in that kind of debate. And to the point that even last week I said to you, like, the way that things are at the moment, I fully expected. Well, I said I predicted a 0-0 draw. I mean,
not 0-0, but.
But if you're playing at home against a team below you in the league, you wouldn't usually be predicting that you're going to not win that football game. And you know, let's focus on Crystal Palace. But say the silver lining for me is that, yes, you never want to see your team lose a game of football, but that defeat had to happen for Leicester to end what has been going on for a slow decline of about 9 months. I mean, it's been pretty dreadful. You've been there as well as Crystal Palace fans, that when your team isn't playing well, you start to go into games and looking at fixtures thinking, we're not going to win this game of football. And that's when you know that there's a serious problem. You know, I take my mind back to Ranieri, and just after he was sacked, I think it was a game against Swansea, who were struggling at the time. We're playing Swansea as the Premier League champions, and we knew we were going to lose that game of football. We're at home against, I think it's Southampton, Cardiff, Wolves and Palace, and we've not picked up a single point. That's absolutely complete ludicrous. It's you know, crap. It's rubbish.
Yeah,
and it's not acceptable.
But it's not quite as bad as having Pardew as a manager for that long.
Exactly.
And we were playing horrendous. So
that's why I feel you can relate.
Yeah, I can relate a bit.
To be honest, I'm on your side tonight because you're playing the seaweed. I think we all are.
Yes, there are Premier League games this evening. Leicester City are playing Brighton. Brendan Rodgers will be in the stands as the new Leicester City manager, not in charge, but watching this evening. There are a host of other Premier League and other games happening across the country this evening. I'll bring you team news, score updates and whatnot throughout the rest of the evening. But chaps, on the basis of this game at the weekend, it was a 4-1 win. And as I alluded to when I was kind of just talking up the show, I didn't watch it. I was unable to watch it at the time. And what I would usually do, like most, is I would go find something on the internet and then sit down and watch the full 90 minutes. I obviously, after the scoreline, decided against that. I've watched the highlights, so I've seen the goals, and for me, that was kind of all I needed to see. So I then look at the stats, and I've been watching Leicester over the last few weeks. I went to the Spurs game the other week. We lost against them. No shock, no real surprise, but we had 25 shots against Tottenham Hotspur. The week before, we lost against Manchester United. I would say for 70 minutes of that game, we were the better team. We also went to Anfield the week before, and again, we drew that game. We played okay, but I felt actually we probably could have won that game. So Leicester have been playing well, but for whatever reason, just unable to make that into points.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking purely at stats right now against the Crystal Palace game because I didn't watch it. But Leicester, just short of 70% possession.
Yep.
27 shots as opposed to your 7. So explain to me, chaps, how it is that you ended up winning this game 4-1.
It's football.
Wait,
that's what it is. What you just described sounds like the start of the season for us, doesn't it? Because we've dominated games and played really well in games and lost them. And if you look at half time, I thought that you'd been mugged off with us going 1-0 up because we were not very good at all.
Yeah, we weren't playing good, especially in the first half. You did dominate us in terms of possession, but I don't know. It didn't feel like you had 27 shots. It felt like you had lots of shots, but most of them weren't any clear-cut chances. It was mainly outside the boxes. I don't know how many shots on target you've had.
Well, no, this is the funny thing as well. You say clear-cut chances. So when I do these chats with these various fan shows, I always go on Sky Sports News. There are other sites available where I get the stats and the facts available. I say 27 shots. They also do this thing where they break down the clear-cut chances.
Yeah.
Leicester, 0. Crystal Palace, 2.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty much it.
We scored 4.
We allowed Leicester to have the ball in midfield, allowed Leicester to come at us, and that was a really surprise because we've done that with many other teams. But it's just the fact that Leicester really couldn't go in the books and play football. We didn't really allow them to play the stylish football. And it was just basically just frustration shots, mainly from Leicester, just outside the box because Palace was so tight. But saying that, in the first half, I honestly don't know. I agree with Nick how we were 1-0 up because we did not deserve that.
Yeah.
We had like a frustration shot of ourselves with James McArthur and Batshuayi. Quick reactions and it just luckily goes in back of the net. But yeah, it was a weird game.
And that's what I find, again, it's really symptomatic of the Claude Puel era is this season, yeah? I mean, how many games have we played now in the Premier League? 27? Leicester have gone behind 19 times. 15 times conceding in the first 15 minutes of games. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how well Leicester are playing or how the opposition are playing. The second that we concede that first goal, which keeps happening time and time again, we're done.
But then again, I think you've got the most points in the Premier League in
from losing positions. Because we go behind every time. We still haven't won that many points. It's just because we go behind more than anyone else.
Yeah, that's why I was, even though we went 1-0 up and we wasn't playing that great, I was still worried because I saw that stat and I knew that Leicester definitely had the chance. And all game long, he was targeting our left-hand side. And Joe Ward, he was just struggling massively against Barnes. So yeah, you've got some good talent in there.
Yes.
There's nothing to be worried about.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to have some team news for you for the games across the country this evening. And if we have to, we'll continue to dissect the Leicester Crystal Palace game from the weekend.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
So, chaps, let's continue, shall we? Yeah. The dissection of this Leicester City defeat against Crystal Palace. So, the Michy Batshuayi goal, when I watched it, it felt like, how's that gone in? What a strange goal. Watch you watch it on repeat, and there is certainly a degree more of skill involved. Are you saying this is a brilliant goal or kind of more chance, luck, reaction, instinct? How do you see it? Because it was certainly against a runner playing a bit fortuitous, but at the same time, you could say it's striker's instinct.
Yeah, I think it was more lucky than...
No.
I don't know. He didn't really... And his reactions were perfect.
That's it's a unique goal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a unique goal. I wouldn't say talent. He didn't really... I don't think when he like lifted up his foot, he didn't expect that to go into the back of the net. Mm. I don't think so. It was more of a reaction, but it's good reaction. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's Nick, where I'm at a little bit. I don't want to take anything necessarily away from this goal because, you know, it's gone in the back of the net and every single one counts. It doesn't matter how they go in. But as DR says, you watch it in normal time and you think, well, how has that gone in? But at the same time, I don't think that, say, for instance, a Saka were a Tompkins would have scored that goal. I think it's no coincidence that the striker scored it, if that makes sense.
Definitely. And I, from where he was, and it's difficult to see from the camera angles, but I think he knew that it was possibly going wide, so he just gave it that deflection.
Yeah.
Because he actually looked like he went to strike the ball. And a little bit more like, I don't know why I've thought of the horrific, we might talk about VAR later with that Real Madrid penalty, but at the weekend. But yeah, it was instinct. Mm.
To be fair, we haven't had much luck on our side this season, so it's good to have luck on our side sometimes because we're very unlucky team at times. Sometimes we do play bad, but sometimes we actually do play good, and it just the ball doesn't go into the back of the net. So it's encouraging to see something like that go in. It just shows that we're not the unluckiest team in the world.
The first half kind of reminded me of when we played Sunderland a few seasons ago. Not when we got beat 4-1, but I think we lost 1-0 to a late Defoe goal. And we were all over them. And we just couldn't put the ball in the onion bag.
Mm.
For love.
It's frustrating that, isn't it?
Yeah. And and they got a lucky winner. And I thought Leicester fans must have felt how I felt on that day. Because we didn't deserve to be leading. I know that makes it worse for you. But, we didn't.
I'm a happy man today, Nick.
We didn't deserve to be one up at half time. But, them's the breaks. That's football.
Absolutely. And obviously, Batshuayi's got himself a goal, which how important is that for him? We've been speaking about him over the last few weeks. He's had chances. Other games, he's not had chances. I think it is a little bit important to know the investment you've put him in. You're going to want and expect results, or otherwise you would have just got somebody else in. You were hoping for something. He's off the mark now.
Yeah, I think it's very important for strikers, no matter how they score, just to put the ball in the back of the net. Just look at Jordan Ayew after the Wolves game. He didn't score a fantastic goal. I know it was a brilliant touch, but it was a simple finish at the end of it. And he went on to score, you know, a couple of goals. And then hopefully Batshuayi can just look at Jordan Ayew and do the same thing. It's going to boost his confidence up. So it's great to see.
Yeah, we just need Benteke to get one in off his bum cheek or something to get him on a roll.
Yeah, it'll be interesting though. We've got Jordan Ayew on the bench, Benteke, Batshuayi, Connor Wickham when he's fit. So there's competition there. So, you know, it's going to give Roy a headache, hopefully.
Were you a little bit surprised at all to see that Batshuayi started that game through the middle over the other options available to you or not?
Not really. Even though he was a bit isolated against Doncaster, I feel like whenever Batshuayi come onto the pitch as a sub in previous games, he's helped Wilf, you know, ends up helped other players as well. So no, I wasn't that surprised. But yeah, it was a good decision at the end of it by Roy. He got a goal.
Yeah. I think Batshuayi is a little bit more skillful than Benteke. Benteke is brilliant at holding the ball up and allowing the players to catch up with him.
Yep.
Batshuayi is more of a get the ball at feet, beat a couple of people and go on from there.
Yeah, we can play faster with Batshuayi, which helps Zaha, who has struggled so far. I wouldn't say struggled, let me take that back. But
he scored in the last three games.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying that in a season overall, maybe more goals, it would have been better for him. But yeah, he hasn't had the season that I expected him to have. So hopefully having Batshuayi next to him allows us to play faster football, and that benefits Wilf.
Interestingly though, what you say about Batshuayi is that, you know, I've noticed when listening to other managers, particularly when he was at Chelsea, I think it was Mourinho, perhaps, or Conte. No, it was Conte, sorry. That Batshuayi's build-up play, technically as a footballer outside of the box, wasn't enough or wasn't at the level required to play for a team like Chelsea. But Nick, you're saying that this is actually what he's able to do. Batshuayi is perhaps a little upgrade on Benteke in that sense.
Indeed, as well. And the thing with Batshuayi is this is shop window time for him.
Massively.
So he's going to want to do well.
But he didn't do that great, though, especially in the first half. There were a couple passes where, you know, it was simple and he could have gave it to, like, either side of, I think, Townsend or Wilf, and he didn't do it. But still, he's still... Doesn't mean that we can't play fast football. We can, but some of his decisions were questionable at times. But that's understandable. He just joined us, and he just needs to adjust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Great news though, Michy Batshuayi getting off the mark for Crystal Palace. It's just gone 7:20 here on Love Sport Radio, and you're listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Okay, back to Crystal Palace against Leicester City. Still loads to get through. A number of goals still to talk about. We've pretty much covered Michy Batshuayi. Nick, you've got your finger up. Which one do you like to talk about?
I'd like to just ask you, you say a number of goals. What's the aggregate score over the last four games?
I mean, if I'm completely honest, Nick, I have absolutely no idea. But I get the impression you're asking me the question because you know.
Yes.
Yeah, go on then. What is it?
13-1.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, is that it?
We're doing all right. Yeah. We can still pull this back.
Yeah, 31.
If I was a Sunday league football manager, like, come on, lads. Starting from now, it's only 1-0.
Second half.
1-0 down. We're better in the second half. It's been dreadful. I went a couple of years ago to... I need to find out if I'm completely correct. I thought it was 3-3. It was a lovely hot summer's day. And I went down to Selhurst Park to watch us play. There was nothing for either of us necessary to play for. And we went 3-1 up. And obviously, you brought two goals back. I'm fairly certain it was... Benteke scored at least one of them. If you bear with me just for two moments. But since then, it's been a pretty one-way traffic, which between two sides like Leicester and Crystal Palace is really quite strange that this is happening. This is becoming a thing.
Yeah, normally you would expect games to be tighter. Yeah.
Well, just like, you know, if it's a 4-1 one week, then maybe 4-1 to the other team the next week. That's why we're mid-table sides, you know. Yeah. Or if it's Chelsea beating, you know, Crystal Palace, you know, 15 times in a row, you kind of like, well, yeah, that's the way it goes. But this is strange.
Well, yeah, I remember last season at home when we faced you guys, I think it was 5-0. I think that was a 5-0 victory. And I don't know, whenever we play Leicester, it just seems like we just up our game, or it's just, I don't know if it's a psychological thing or is it just that we just have the advantage over Leicester.
So it was a 2-2 game, by the way. So Leicester had gone 2-0 up. I was there, I remember Jamie Vardy scoring a very good goal. And then Johan Cabaye and Christian Benteke scored late on for 2-2. And that was my last experience of a Leicester Palace game. But incidentally, the last time Leicester picked up a point, which just, it's absolutely incredible.
When? Oh.
That 2-2 draw.
When was this?
At the end, set in April of the 2017 season. So it was the back end of a couple of seasons ago. And I presume at this point we needed nothing. So it's only been four times since. But the results read, in the last four games, a 3-0 away win for Crystal Palace. You followed up with a 5-0 home win. I mean, and then Leicester got a very creditable 1-0 away defeat at Crystal Palace there on the season, and back that up with a 4-1-er.
Yeah, can we play every week?
Yeah, if you want, exactly. Mate. As long as Claude Puel's in charge and we want him out, if that's what it takes, mate. Yeah. If that's what it takes. But do you get that sense, though? Because, again, as football fans and you guys who go week in, week out, when you've got a bit of a bogey side, I mean, you look at the players and think, right, well, we're aware that this has become a bogey side for us because we've been watching for years. But most of these players will never have played against this Crystal Palace side before. They've, you know, the number of Leicester players or Crystal Palace players which are new, who didn't play in 2016-17. So how does this happen? How does this become a thing?
I don't know.
Because different managers involved, different players involved. I find it crazy.
I don't know. It's not one clear thing. It was like a couple of seasons ago with Liverpool. We just loved facing Liverpool because we always seemed to get a result against them. We made Gerrard cry at Selhurst Park, that 3-0 game when we brought it back in 9 minutes.
Suarez covering his face.
Yeah, and then Gerrard's last home game, we managed to get a result at Anfield. I don't know. It's just, there's no clear thing. It's not like we're better than Liverpool in terms of players. It's just, it happens. I don't know. It's a coincidence.
We're just better than Liverpool.
Yeah.
And apparently better than Leicester as well, yeah, by all accounts. Sam Wilfred Zaha with a couple of goals. What was his performance like?
You know what? In the first half, Leicester done a pretty good job on him. They just, every time he got the ball, they were just on him and, you know, fouling him at times, just frustrating him, and didn't let him really get into his stride. But in the second half, it opened up a bit for him and other players as well. It was not only Wilfried Zaha, Andros Townsend, even Batshuayi. They started coming back and getting the ball more, and it got them more involved in the game. So as the game went on, I think Wilf's game improved and he was more effective. But in the first half, you've done a pretty good job on him.
Wilf and Andros dropping back in the second half helped us go forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because ball retention, it was much better. In the first half, so many misplaced passes. There was a massive gap between the midfield and the attacking force. And second half, Roy sorted that out, and he just told people to come back and get the ball instead of, you know, giving ambitious passes forward and just losing them.
It also negated any forward runs from the Leicester fullbacks. Because, you know, Wilf and Andros were on him, and Wilf was back in defence quite a lot, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Him and Andros. But Andros had a different game than Wilf. I think he missed Wan-Bissaka. But, yeah.
Okay, going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to have a guest on the phone. Dominic Fifield, a big Crystal Palace fan, but also a football correspondent for The Guardian, is going to be joining us next.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. Hook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Hook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Okay, welcome back. Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. We've got Nick and DR from the back of the nest. We're with you until 9 p.m. this evening. I reckon we've only got 5 or so minutes left of Leicester Crystal Palace chat, and then we can forget all about it until at least next season. We'd like to say we've got Dominic Fifield from The Guardian on the phone this evening. Dominic, good evening.
Hi there, Jake. How are you doing?
Do you know what? I'm all right. I won't lie, Dominic. I'm a Leicester City fan, you see, so I've been dreading this evening's show.
But you should be happy at the appointment, surely. Brendan Rodgers is progressive for you guys, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. I shan't lie. It has boosted my mood ahead of this evening's show. But again, we've just been talking between ourselves here about this record. Nick, what is it now? 13-1 in the last four games.
13-1 in the last four games.
How is this happening, Dominic, between two relatively similar sides in Leicester and Crystal Palace?
Well, I think the easy answer to that is that Claude Puel played into Palace's hands. Leicester have always, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Leicester's forte has always been playing on the counter-attack, pretty much like Crystal Palace's. And whenever they've played Palace, maybe with the exception of the 5-0 for Leicester at the end of last season when Leicester looked as if they were on the beach, they've come and tried to play a sort of progressive possession football, which just doesn't seem as if they had the players at the time or were comfortable with what Puel was wanting them to do. And Palace, when he soaked up the possession, as we saw in that first half hour at the King Power on Saturday, and then hit them on the break and could prosper that way. And it was all too simple, far too simple. And I suspect that Brendan Rodgers will have to make some pretty big changes to that Leicester team to make them comfortable. But, you know, he's probably going to be more proactive at that than Claude Puel was. Palace, they were the ideal opponents. Weak at the back, they could be exploited. Palace's pace could come into the play. And they loved playing against Claude Puel's Leicester City. Not so much the Leicester City of the previously, it has to be said. But I still remember you guys winning at Selhurst Park in the championship winning season, the title winning season. When Mahrez scored they were excellent that day.
Yeah, but you mentioned there, Dominic, about kind of almost playing into Palace's hands again. You mentioned Leicester, probably better suited to that counter-attacking play. 27 shots Leicester had against Palace, but none clear-cut, apparently, in terms of obviously where you read. Nearly 70% possession. I mean, how much suited? Because this has happened on a number of occasions for Palace this season, where you're looking at games thinking they may be the better footballing side, but this is a game really well suited to the way that Crystal Palace play with the wing-backs that they've got and the likes of Zaha on the break. Is there a danger that the Palace may be becoming a little bit one-dimensional in that sense?
I think Palace have actually, if anything, they've progressed in the last few weeks. I think it made such a refreshing change to have an opportunistic striker with an eye for goal playing up top in Batshuayi. I know people said that the first goal was luck, and there was an element of luck in there, but he did deliberately try and guide that ball, that shot, towards goal. That was instinct that took over, and that is the instinct of a goal scorer, and that is the instinct that Palace have been lacking all season. So when they've been racking up, you know, God knows how many chances against Cardiff City at home on Boxing Day, or even go back to Burnley at the beginning of December when they had, I think, 29 shots that evening and only won 2-0, 0-0 against Cardiff. I mean, the amount of times, I mean, even West Ham of late, when Batshuayi was still maybe a bit ring rusty, the number of chances Palace have created at Selhurst Park and not had that instinctive finisher just to put some of them away and open the floodgates. Because as soon as Palace go a goal up, they're, or they should be in command, because they then can play to their strengths, which is still pace on the counter-attack, organisation at the back. and that's what they did at Leicester. That they need to do that more at Selhurst Park, and you know, United on Wednesday, even United with all these injury problems, you'd expect United to come and expect to dominate the ball. So Palace should be able to play on the counter again.
It's hello, Dom. It's Nick here. Just a quick question from Mr. Hambling, who's sick in bed at the moment. He said, "Are you going to do the mutton rolls for him this week? Because there's no way he's going to be able to eat any."
Well. He's going to have to ask Maurizio Sarri whether he's going to get the chop at Chelsea, because he seems to be occupying my mind from what, at the moment of my working days. But oh, if dear. I can, I'll try and do the mutton rolls for Hambo.
Well, just while we're on Chelsea, and we are a London station, what do you make of the whole Chelsea goalie and Sarri thing? What's your take on it?
I thought it was outrageous at the time. I thought the misunderstanding line, whilst I can understand why it came out that night and why the club were so keen for player and head coach to adopt it as a PR exercise, I don't think it worked. I think it became very confused very, very quickly. And 24 hours later, the misunderstanding has prompted a one-week fine for the player, which to me suggests there's a culpability there. It was pretty obvious watching what was happening that he just wasn't having any of it. And I think there's one very obvious show of dissent in there, and it's completely undermined Sarri. But the only thing I would say on that, Sarri was completely undermined anyway. Yeah. I mean, his position is one defeat away from becoming untenable, given what was everything, all the noises around the club at the moment, and the uproar in the stands as well at the Manchester United game last week. It's a perfect storm at the moment. Everything is sort of centering on Chelsea, and I've been covering them for 12 years, and I'm sort of growing a bit world weary to these. But even by their standards, the last few weeks have been remarkable.
But I was thinking, surely if your number's up, your number's up. So can't the ref say, look, your number's up, you've got to come off?
No, the referee, if a player refuses to be substituted, the referee can't make him. They're the rules.
Oh.
So if a player says, I'm not going, then the referee has to wave play on. So that's why John Moss went over to the sidelines and spoke with Sarri and confirmed that. Weirdly, John Moss, it happened to him before. I think Lucas Fabianski, playing for Swansea, possibly against Spurs last season or the season before last. Exactly the same thing happened. Fabianski refused to come off, and he had to go and explain to, I think it was Paul Clement at the time, that he wasn't, he couldn't make the substitution.
What's upset me most about that is you just know that there's going to be kids up and down the country playing in their Sunday league games who are going to say, no, I'm not coming off. And it just sets a bad precedent. Back to Palace. We've got Sacco out, according to Roy today. But do you know if Kelly's back and fit?
I've actually got a story dropping on the Guardian website. Very imminently, hopefully. It does sound bad news on Sacco. I suspect we may not see him this season again with his knee injury. There's suggestions that he's going to go under the knife to repair the damage from sustained at Leicester. As far as I know, Kelly and Dan are both fit, yeah. And I didn't go and see Roy today. I was at Sarri, obviously. I think both of them are fit. Certainly Scott Dan is fit, and Martin Kelly. The suggestion last week was it wasn't a serious injury that was keeping him out of the Leicester the trip. So I suspect that both of those will be available to step in. And I know as much as Sacco's absence would leave a huge, huge hole in that Palace team, because he's had such a brilliant season that has got back into the French setup as a result of his form at Palace, it is probably the one area of the team where Palace are well stocked, albeit with maybe different kinds of centre halves. But you know, given that they've moved 6 points clear of the relegation zone, they've got a bit of momentum behind them. They do have two very good, experienced players in Scott Dan and Martin Kelly who can step in and fill that void. So. I know no one wants to see a long-term injury, but if there's going to be one, I guess a centre-half is an area where they can cover it easiest.
Yeah.
Hi, Dom. We haven't really talked about Max Meyer today, but we normally always talk about him. Is there a possibility of Max Meyer getting frustrated with the limited chances in a way, because he hasn't really started as many games as he probably expected and Palace fans expected, and he ends up leaving in the summer? Is there a possibility of that happening?
Well, look, you can never say never, and he did arrive with a pedigree, and you're right, he would have expected to have played, and he's not in that top bracket of wages at Palace in the sort of Sakho, Zaha, Benteke sphere, but he's certainly up there, and with Batshuayi, for example, on about 80, 85 grand a week, so it's a hefty wage for Palace to be paying for a squad player. However, I do think Roy has just given him time to adapt. We probably underestimate, looking in from the outside, just how difficult it is for foreign players, particularly lightweight foreign players, to come in and adjust immediately to the English league, even these days, and even from the Bundesliga, which is sort of known as a sort of more physical league than, say, Spain or France or Italy or whatever. So if he can sort of take the number of games, he'll probably end up playing 35 games or making 35 appearances this season in all competitions by the end of it all. If he can sort of see that as his grounding in the English game, then who's to say that he can't go and flourish next season in the team? Roy always saw him as a sort of ball-playing midfielder in a two, if he was going to be like a Danny Murphy figure that he had at Fulham alongside a more aggressive player like a Luka. Or even in a three with Chick Coate and Luka and Meyer. And let's be honest, I mean, I don't think James McArthur can run forever. He's done a wonderful job of it in the last few years. But I can see Meyer eventually forcing his way into the league team and playing more regularly as that third midfielder in a 4-3-3, as the creative hub of that midfield, the sort of tidy passer in possession. But I think he probably will only make that impact next season. And hopefully he will have benefited. I mean, go way back. Robert Pires, first season at Arsenal, really, really struggled to make an impact. Second season, absolute world beater, one footballer of the year. I'm not saying Max Meyer will do the same, but he should have benefited from the grounding that he's got this year.
What about Wan-Bissaka? There's been lots of big clubs being linked with a move to him in the summer. Is there any possibility of him leaving, or is it just rumours at this stage? Because he has a talent, of course, but would Palace be willing to sell him? Or
I don't think Palace would willingly sell Wan-Bissaka. He's just been an absolute revelation since he broke into the scene a year ago. Almost actually a year to the day, isn't it? I was very lucky to go and meet him a few weeks back at his old primary school. He's just a really grounded kid who's enjoying, the waves that he's been making in the game with Palace. I guess you have to consider what bids might come in for him. And there will be interest. There definitely will be interest. A lot of clubs will be taking notice of what he's done, and there'll be a lot of elite clubs in the Premier League who need homegrown talents for European competition, and Wan-Bissaka would fall into that category. They may see him as somebody they can target and tempt Palace with what would be an eye-watering bid. Whether Palace accept it is up to them. But then I guess Palace will look at it, and they'll have to assess where their own finances are at the end of the season and quite how much squad building they need to do ahead of next year. If it's a straight choice between they need to raise money and they have to sell one of Wan-Bissaka or Wilf Zaha, then they've got an awkward situation to address, haven't they? But it may be that the American owners and Steve Parish can whip up funds elsewhere and they don't need to sell. I suspect there'll be interest, and I suspect that there will be bids put in that tempt Palace. But if that happens and they sell, those bids will be huge. I mean, we're huge. I mean, people seem to undervalue Palace players, and people are outraged when Wilf Zaha is quoted at in excess of £70 million. But I mean, last year Wilf Zaha kept Palace in that division, and to get relegated cost you £100 million. So why would Palace ask for anything less than that? I think with Wan-Bissaka, with the potential that he's got and the impact that he's made, surely you'd be looking in excess of £45-50 million for him to sell.
What's good actually is the fact that Zaha had that sort of bad move to Man United and could sort of serve as a little lesson to other players who might think the grass is greener on the other side before they've kind of completed their sort of getting into football, because he's only been playing, well, it's just over a year ago that he made his debut for us. So there is that, which hopefully will help. Just one last quick question. Roy became the oldest manager. Why he hasn't been knighted yet, I don't know. How long do you think he's got left in him?
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, I mean, I covered Roy with when he was at Fulham and when he was with England, and the enthusiasm, I think probably when he was at Blackburn as well, thinking about it, like way back in the day when I was up in Merseyside. And the enthusiasm's the same. The desire to be out on the training ground and with Ray Lewington as well and just working hard and doing what he does best. It doesn't look as if it's waned at all in the last few years. I mean, it took him a while to get over the England disappointment, but Palace has sort of got him back in love with the game again. I don't see why it should end any time soon. He signed the contract extension at the start of this season. I think he's coming for a bit of stick this season. I mean, people got a bit tired of the substitutions and the stilted sort of performances sometimes. Maybe the team did underperform in that first half of the season. But when you see what he does at Leicester on Saturday, I think you just look at it and realise that Roy Hodgson knows more about football than all of us. He just knows how to do it. And we have Roy Hodgson in charge. You don't get relegated. You have more good days than bad days. And sometimes you just need a bit of realism to go along with that amongst the supporter base. And you realise you've actually got a pretty remarkable thing happening here at Palace. I mean, this is best probably as it's been since 1991-92, that sort of time. It's everything just looks as if it's moving in the right direction, and let's cherish that, because, you know, as Palace fans, we know things turn quite quickly, so let's enjoy it while it lasts.
I tell you what, I'm going to leave it on that note. Dominic, thank you for your time this evening.
Cheers, all the best.
Thanks, Tom.
There we are, Don Fifield there from The Guardian. Best since the early 90s. Certain DR was not even born. We'll be back in just a few moments here on the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
So I just asked DR, so when exactly were you born? I guess at 96. Not even close.
Yeah.
Wrong century.
God, I sort of know. How old are you, Jake? And then just add a few years. There's not that much difference between you. Turns out there's a very big difference between mine and DR's age.
How old are you this week? Because last week...
I'm still 29 and a half. yes, the dawn of the 30 is closing. as each week passes. Thank you very
each
much.
Second.
Yes. Yeah. Scary old game, this old age game. By the way, all these games across the country have kicked off this evening. I'll just run through the fixtures and not the team lineups. In the Premier League, we've got Cardiff against Everton. We've got Huddersfield Wolves. We've got Leicester Brighton. And we've also got Newcastle Burnley, but that one is an 8 p.m. kickoff. In the Championship, a few of our London teams involved this evening. QPR against Leeds. Sheffield Wednesday, they host Brentford. Also, Hull City host Millwall. And the other one is Bristol City against Birmingham. As and when those goals go in, we shall talk about them. So what else of particular note before we move on to the second hour of this evening's show do you want to talk about from the game from the weekend?
Andros Townsend. We touched on him. I touched on him a bit. There were some people suggesting that this was his worst game of the season, and on a review show, I did say that. Well, it's normal for players to have bad games because everyone, no matter how good you are, there will always be. You know, you always have that one bad game, or you could look at it on the other hand, and you know, Wan-Bissaka. I really do think he missed Wan-Bissaka because going forward, he was always getting, you know, doubled up and tripled up. Leicester players were always closing him down. Normally, in that instance, you'll always have Wan-Bissaka to do quick 1-2 passes with him and just go up the pitch like that. Unfortunately, Joel Ward hasn't got that capability to go forward. So I think he struggled as a result of Wan-Bissaka not being in the side. And it just shows how significant Wan-Bissaka is because, as well, you know, as good as he is as a defender, he's also very good going forward as well.
Yeah, he's been in every game, hasn't he? So he's an integral part of Roy's game plan, it would appear. I'm just wondering if tiredness is coming into him. Just going to look up how many games he's actually played this season.
Well, he's played a lot, isn't he? As far as this Crystal Palace side go, we all know that Roy has got a fairly settled 11. There's very few who rotate in and out. Andros is one of those names, isn't he, that plays every single week. So maybe it is just a bit of fatigue.
Yeah, it could be. I don't think he's actually missed a game.
I'm struggling to think of a time.
No,
he hasn't. Yeah,
he hasn't
there we are then.
Well, we've got Bakary Sakho, which many people, including me, tend to forget about.
Yep.
We haven't really seen much of him. I wonder what's the latest with Bakary Sakho. We forgot to ask Dom. But yeah, he could be, you know, coming into the side and having an impact. So that would be something to look forward to, whether Bakary Sakho plays tomorrow. But, you know, it's coming towards the end of the season and it'll be good to see a bit of Sakho because he was good under Roy last time out.
The Leicester City era, post Claude Puel, is well and underway, less than 10 minutes in to their game against Brighton. Damari Gray has just scored for the hosts to give them the lead. Brendan, by the way, is in the stands watching this evening.
It wouldn't surprise me if Brighton went down, you know.
We had this conversation, didn't we, last week, and I said to you, didn't I? I think it was you guys. I said Newcastle or Brighton to join Huddersfield or Fulham in the bottom three this season for me.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think Brighton, after they've beat us, it's just gone downhill for them. They're below us and they're really in a relegation battle. So that's good as Palace fans. So I'm happy and they're losing today. That's fantastic news.
Hull have just taken the lead as well. That one, not smiling. They're playing Millwall this evening, of course, one of our London clubs. Friday evening, they'll be back on Love Sport Radio. But Hull have just taken the lead against them. Yes, plenty of other teams involved this evening. Brentford as well in action, as our QPR.
It's just a shame Charlton aren't playing tonight because we could have a treble, couldn't we, dear?
Watch it. The Charlton lads will be in a short while.
I hope they're listening to this.
They're in after you, 9 until 10 p.m. this evening. So if you are of the Charlton Athletic persuasion, they'll be with you later on this evening. So yes, going to take a break in just a couple of moments. Premier League games, Championship games, goalless between Brentford and Sheffield Wednesday at the moment, also goalless between QPR and who they're playing Leeds this evening. The Premier League games as well, also goalless apart from Leicester against Brighton. Damari Gray scoring the first goal post Claude Puel. You're listening to Love Sport Radio. This is the Crystal Palace fan show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. You say that you love me,
Welcome back. Second half of the Crystal Palace fan show. We had a change of formation as well in the studio. Same personnel, but we switched. DR, you've moved from my left to my right. Why is this?
Yeah, my mic is pretty
You're a versatile winger.
My mic is pretty low. I have to put my shoulder down.
You sort out your mic while Nick's sorting out his glasses. So I'm just going to talk to myself. Chaps, you know when the news is on, you've got about 2 minutes, and then a bit of music plays, then we start talking again. It's the same every single week.
I was busy writing me drill lyrics.
Yeah. And talking of production and maybe a little bit of spice, something a bit different we can bring to this show, because what we always like to do here, I've decided, because it feels pretty much every week we talk about something that DR has said or done.
Yeah.
You know, it's now what we're calling a DRism.
DRism.
Mm. Mm. If somebody's got a better name, I'm absolutely open to suggestions at Love Sport Radio, or just tweet DR direct. So each time DR says something, it's a little bit like, what?
It's not what.
It is.
No, it's not. It's normal things.
Okay.
I'd say it's not. Then what?
Because we end up having a good 15 to 20 minute chat off about what kind of ludicrous comments you say each week. So, what have you said during the news just then?
That I stopped with the running.
Stopped running?
Yep, stopped running.
So this is we've been on your fitness journey, haven't we, over the last couple of weeks, which ended after half a mile because you had a headache and determined that running was not good for you.
I'm focusing on my diet.
Okay.
Starting from today, I'm looking at my calories. I still got 1,200 to go.
Okay. So is the intention to eat more?
Yeah, eat more.
Because you need to lose weight.
Yeah, I'm gaining weight. And then do push-ups at home.
Yep.
My body's aching right now, my chest, so... You know, it's working.
That's the right area.
Yeah, it's working.
You know what? I was expecting. Oh god.
Yeah, it's
my
working.
Shoulders
well.
Really aching. You're doing it wrong, mate.
Yeah. And then I'm going to start going gym.
Okay.
In the weekend, so it's all going fantastically so far. I feel refreshed. I still got way more calories to go by the end of the night, which I think I'll achieve. And yeah, I'm excited, honestly.
Well, let's start on this. Yeah, this is a good chat. You know, I like to know about your life. I like to bring it onto the radio, and I like other people to know what's going on. So talk me through your diet first of all. Are you simply just on a bulk in the sense of eating as much as you can, or how is it exactly you're hoping to put on some weight and some proper weight?
I'll be honest. I found out that he's only allowed to eat what isn't sold at the shop.
Oh, what, the kebab
shop?
Mm.
No, I
mean, a chicken kebab's not too bad, mate.
Yeah, that's good, but yeah. I don't live in a kebab shop, so I can't eat kebab every single day.
Yeah, but when you're there...
Well, I'm not there every day, that's a problem.
Okay, so then, talk us through your diet then. What are you doing at the moment? What are you doing differently?
So, today, well, I do the same thing. Have baked beans in the morning.
That's not particularly healthy, but carry on.
No, but it doesn't matter. It's still calories, yeah. Yep. Protein, calories, okay. All of them. Yep. Two boiled eggs.
Yeah.
Jam bread.
Jam on toast? Or?
Jam toast. Yeah.
what flavour jam?
A strawberry, of course.
That's not important. You've had all of that for breakfast?
Yeah, that's it. And also cucumber and tomatoes.
What, with the jam bread?
No, just on its own.
You're serious? You had all of that for breakfast?
Honestly, I do have that, and I calculated it, 700 calories. So I start the day off pretty well. But
yeah.
I get lost in lunch. I had tuna today.
Just on its own? Just a tin of tuna?
Yeah, because there's like ready ones, and that's high in protein.
You had a tin of tuna for your lunch?
Yeah. So you, I was meant to have salmon. So you before had, I, no, I was meant to have
no,
salmon.
No. You had baked beans, two eggs, some jam sandwiches, and some cucumber and tomato for breakfast.
Yeah.
But at lunch, you just had a tin of tuna.
That's what I'm saying. It's still work in progress.
Work in progress. No, you're right.
But I was going to have salmon as well, but I was running late. I was going to have smoked salmon.
Was the tuna in brine or was it in sunflower oil or spring water?
Spring water.
Okay, good.
It's ready. So that's why I just open up. Everything's ready. It's not all like, you know, when it's in water and it's not ready to use and it's all drained. It's none of that. It's just ready and I just eat it straight away.
So you pay overinflated prices for it?
Not really.
All right.
It's fine. Sometimes the price you pay for something a little bit more healthy. Then go on, tell us through the next meal of your day, your next part of it.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't have my salmon, so tonight I'm probably going to have that salmon. That's another 400 calories. And I don't know what else to eat. But I had Subway before I came here, foot long. So got another 600 calories there.
Yeah.
It's hard. Honestly, it's hard.
I know it is.
I never realised it was this hard. It's like, what can I eat? It's like, I've got so many options, but I can't just go and eat. Like lamb, like kebab. Yeah, that's not healthy.
But believe it or not, you look at this man in front of you this evening, age 29 and a half. You know, around your age, I was 6'4", but I was a good 5-6 stone lighter than what I am now, and I had to go through the same process of eating literally everything that I possibly could.
I'm going to get supplements.
Yeah.
Yep.
Legal ones.
Yeah. legal ones.
I know a guy. I don't know a guy.
Yeah, I'm going to get legal ones. Just give me calories. So yeah, I'm going to get 1,000 calories from that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's going to get easier on as I go.
Just need to ask you there, because since I've had this this very famous type of exercise watchery thing that I've got,
Nick's got a Fitbit.
Yeah,
I've got a Fitbit.
I eat a lot, but I'm not getting the calorific intake. But that said, I've walked 8 miles today.
Yeah, that's why.
And I'm going to walk another 3 when I go home.
But that's the thing, I can't really burn calories as well.
Why not?
Because I'll have to eat more, because if I burn calories to achieve my goal.
But you can't just...
You know what I mean?
So my question was, how can I bulk up a bit? Because I want to get bigger.
You've got to eat the right things and do the right exercise.
Yeah, calculate, you know, everything together.
I do.
Your height and everything. Well, it should tell you there how many calories you need.
Yeah, no, you've got to have the 2,500 calories a day.
It depends. I need... For instance, I need 2,934 or something like that.
So, Dio, how long have you been on this new diet plan for?
Today.
It's started today.
Yeah.
It's like... Nope. Fair enough. We've all got to start.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. I said it's a work.
Crying out loud.
I said it's a work in progress for a reason.
Yeah. That it is.
There's no words, are there?
Yeah.
No, but it's classic. It's perfect, what? and that's why we love him. So you're training. You told us you've done some push-ups today.
Yeah, I got Well, I've done it yesterday and today. I could only do like hardly any because my chest was hurting. But yeah, I done push-ups yesterday. But yep. My actual diet, it started today. That's what I'm saying. It's a work in progress. I'm new to this, and it's hard. It's hard. But yeah, hopefully I'll get.
I'm going to ask you now. We've been talking about the marathon walk last couple of days.
Yeah.
And whether we're going to do it this year. We'd like you to come with us.
I think I could. I mean, you put me very much on the spot here, Nick, live on the radio. I can't say, oh, no, that sounds a bit hard. Don't really fancy that.
No, if you're not working, it'd be lovely to have you along.
I work a lot. I really, really do. And does that, in all seriousness, when is it?
October sometime.
Okay. Put me down for a maybe. My people speak to your people. We can see what we can do. Nick, are you going to be doing it, DR?
Possibly. Yeah, I've done it last year.
Yes, he is.
So very, very quickly, before we take a break and this week's DR-ism it is over, I want to continue this chat maybe next week and work out how the training and the diet is going. Yeah. Do you know right now your measurements?
Yes, I do.
Are you happy to share how much you weigh and how much push-ups you're able to do?
I hardly weigh anything.
Yeah, we know that. That's why you're doing this program.
Like 58.
Okay.
48, 34, 22. That's your measurements, isn't it? Don't worry.
You don't know his measurements.
Don't worry. Older people will know what I'm on about.
So, we're at 58 kilograms, right?
Yeah.
And how many push-ups did you manage?
I've done it, like 15, I think. 15, okay. 20. I don't know, because I stopped and I just tried. I stopped. Went on.
Look, well, what we'll do is...
It's hurt. I was in pain.
We'll go with the lower number.
Yeah.
Just so we give you a better chance of progression next week. And what you're saying is the plan is to work out every single day?
Yep, 100%.
Okay.
No slacking.
But don't do the same thing every single day.
No, like, I've read it. You have to have the same diet. Easier for me.
Your exercise. Like, if you do press-ups every single day,
yeah,
that's not... You need to do other things.
Yeah, I'm going to start going gym on the weekend. But yeah, I need to start with press-ups. It's like a little warm-up session. Running was my warm-up idea, and I got a headache after half a mile. So I'm trying this.
I don't know why. I've just had images of DR in the kebab shop hurling the kebab.
Yes.
The thing on the pole up and down, and then
you could improvise
stronger.
When at work.
I don't know if customers will improve that. They're just waiting for their food and just see me lifting.
DR sweating all over the big donut while he's pushing it above his head.
Yeah, just sweating.
I'll pass on the lamb donut this evening, DR, but thank you very much. We'll have this chat next week. DR, thank you for this week's DR-ism.
Oh, no worries.
We need a bed for that, don't we?
It's happening. Cue next week.
Yes.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
And welcome back. Love Sport Radio is the Crystal Palace fan show. We are going to be doing DR-isms, and next week it will contain the same gold from our favourite DR, but it's gonna have some glitter. A little bit of production. No, you do. I'll make this happen. DR, have I ever let you down before?
No.
Exactly. And until I do, then you can doubt me. But right. I have not done that. And also potentially get involved in a marathon walk. We could do it together.
Yeah, that would be great.
We could do it together, couldn't we?
Three-legged race.
In just a few moments, we'll do some four-word reviews. So we'll... I presume, am I going to need them? Because you want me to do them. How are we going to do this?
Oh, you can do it. Unless you want... Do you want to do it?
No. Cut the music. Not just yet.
Producer Paddy's excited today.
No. I don't blame him. You're all excited. You're looking forward for me to do... Could you send me all the four-word reviews?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to need them, aren't I?
Yeah.
And whilst you do that, should we talk about Watford and what they've done ahead of your FA Cup quarter final?
I've tweeted Elton John to complain.
Did you DM him or did you just
I
normal
just tweeted
tweet?
Elton John official. I've said, have a word with your people at Watford if you can, because I said my lad is really upset that he's not going to be able to go because they've got 2,000 empty seats. Do they want to be seen on national television with a ground... with lots of empty seats. We want the atmosphere in. They're scared that they're going to be outsung. They're going to be outsung anyway, even with the 2,000 fans less. But fair play to Watford. 18 quid for an adult, 7 quid for an under 18, I think it was. So it would have cost me and my lad 25 quid. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough points. That's upset me as well, DR. I didn't go to Doncaster, but the people that have been to all the rounds so far should have the priority, I think, especially on the cup. When I was younger, you used to get a little FA Cup voucher in your programme and you cut them out. And then when you went to the box office, if you had all the vouchers from the programmes, you got priority. priority for the tickets. But yeah, I mean, I don't know whether Palace would have done the same thing. They've given us 15%,
yeah,
which is 3,100.
So this is the thing, if people aren't aware of this, ahead of your FA Cup quarterfinal, Watford have given you their allocation, which they have to do with 15%. But instead of just giving you the rest of the stand, which they would have been able to do, they've decided to only give you the 3,100, which again, they're doing absolutely nothing wrong. But it is a little bit strange, Nick, as you mentioned, that they are deliberately leaving the stadium empty is some kind of ploy, maybe, to give you less atmosphere, which is, I think, a little bit unnecessary.
It is. It would have been good for both sides, I think. If there were more Palace fans, then that would have probably encouraged Watford fans to sing more. And then it would have just improved the atmosphere overall. So it's annoying that they've decided to do to only give us 3,100 seats when they could have given us the rest of the stand. But it is what it is. And unfortunately, now I can't go. So, yeah.
So come on, Elton, I know you listen to this show. Sort it out for us.
Sort the lads out. But do you think at any point, and with it being, you know, an FA Cup quarter final, also against, you know, a London rival, don't get me wrong, I'm fully aware it's not, you know, a derby.
They think it is. They hate us. So
it's because
much.
Of Zaha. It's because of Zaha. That's
but
it.
But do you think now with this, it adds a little bit more spice to this game? If there was any more need for some?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. You have to probably just wait and see on the day, see what happens. But it's always spicy when it's Palace Watford, because Watford fans just hate Zaha and just going to screw
you. We had the playoff final that we beat them in at Wembley. We had the FA Cup semi-final we beat them in. Zaha winning penalties against them. Legitimately winning penalties. And they hate us.
Okay, well, the Watford Fan Show is on Sunday evening, 7 to 8pm, hosted by yours truly, and I'll ask the guys from the Hornet's Nest exactly how they feel about the news of just giving you the 3,100 seats ahead of their FA Cup quarter-final. Producer, please, cue the music. Dun, dun, dun. Here we are. Okay, then. So, a special request from the chaps. From the back of the nest, they've asked that I read out the four-word reviews this week. And they are... Game of Two Halves. It's a nice start. Yep. Nice and gentle. I've already taken a peek. It gets worse for me.
It'd be nice if you said who sent them in as well.
Yes, okay. Yes. Game of Two Halves from Mummy White. Graham Smith says, we've learnt to score. That you have. Mike Scott says, Kasper Schmeichel in tears.
Yeah, he was.
Weren't actual tears.
That's the winner so far.
Yeah, that's
yes,
the winner.
Yes, sorry. We're doing this, aren't we? And then doing imaginary T-shirts.
Yeah.
When at some point somebody makes one. I'll jot down this one. So currently, Mike Scott is leading. Yeah.
Mike Scott.
Kasper Schmeichel in tears, currently leading. CPFC News HQ says 4 in a row. Yes, 13-1, in fact. Nick Gussett, never heard of him, says, what a strange game. The Palace podcast says, back where we belong. Still underneath Leicester in the Premier League table.
Yeah. He's actually a Leicester fan, that one.
No, he's not. Nearly. I double checked there. PW1965 said, and I agree with you. Did not deserve that.
Yeah.
Not even watch the game.
It's too nice.
Oh, do I read this one out from Palace Ash? Jake Watson, humble pie. Palace Ash blocked. from Gazbod says Michi, Wilf, Luca, Wilf. Don't know what that means.
Just all the goal scorers.
Yes, DR, yeah. I know. I read it on the internet. James, a similar line, says Batshuayi, Zaha, Milivojevic, Zaha. So just elaborated a little bit more. Palace Ash is back. He says, this one's a bit nicer. He said, who said drop Maka?
Yes, yeah, true.
Who did say that?
Me.
There we are.
I did.
We knew that, DR.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin has tweeted his, says, oldest and best manager, of course, referring to the fact Roy Hodgson has now become the oldest Premier League manager. Yep. Nice one. I like that one. It's in second place, but unfortunately there are no prizes for second. I mean, there's also none for first, but we'll pretend there is. Wagger66 says, never in any doubt. Mr. Cadbury's Parrot says, perfect result for Roy. Kevin says, battered someone at last. And then somebody says he's been sacked. I mean, that's not a forward review. He's just replying to the other guy's tweet.
Yeah.
But it's also true. He has been sacked. Rob Fenton 979 says, clinical counter-attacking football. It certainly was. Sean CPFC, he's been back again. We were finally clinical. Liam says, there's no other way. Gordon Farquhar says, great for goal difference. South Coast Eagle says, mind the gap, Brighton. And I can join you on that one this evening because Leicester are also beating Brighton. We're doing that for you, yes. Lads.
Let's go.
There were Brighton fans on Twitter at the weekend bemoaning the fact that a month ago they were 9 points clear of us, something like that.
Yeah, typical Brighton fans.
So that's winning for me.
Daniel T, I like this one. His is Dripping in Sauce FC.
I don't know. Is it winning? Is he winning?
Well, at the moment, bear in mind the one is saying that Kasper Schmeichel is in tears, is crying. I'm probably not going to vote that as the favourite one, so I'll leave it up to you guys. I'll leave it up to you. Eagles finish off Pule, that is from Palace Ash. That's three. I need to. You've had your lot now. Bob Halliwell says, not last on match of the day. MOTD. He's abbreviated it. It counts as a word. Yeah, accept
that
it.
That works.
Lewis Garcia, play Leicester every week.
Can we please?
Jack CPFC says Zaha loves playing Leicester. Matthew Mason says goal, 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 goal.
He's ignored the Leicester goal in that one, hasn't he?
It's only forward. Yeah,
doesn't count then.
That'd be unfair.
What else have we got? Tompkins, man of the match. This one from Robbie Scotcher. And we'll do one more, okay?
One more.
From King Louis. And very topical for King Louis. He says, long live the king.
Yes. I actually think that, you know, remember all those... He won't. Frankie says, relax, choose life, everything. I think we could make a range of Jake Watson humble pie T-shirts work, you know.
Look, humble pie T-shirts.
I mean, I don't think you'd sell many.
Increase your profile. I mean, you know.
What off the back of Leicester being rubbish?
Yeah. No, just Jake Watson, humble pirate. People say, who's Jake Watson? And then I'll start listening to Love Sport in order to find out who you are.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. If you get those T-shirts made, DR, you and all your mates can wear them, hand them out.
While I'm making the drill track and working and bringing up three kids.
You've got a busy week. Mate,
I'm the ideas man here and I get you to do it for me.
Are we your gonks?
Exactly. I am Roy and you are my squad. Okay. Can you do that, DR?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to fine you a week's wages if you don't. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do some listener questions here on the Crystal Palace Fan Show.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
So we've done our four-word reviews. Thank you very much for allowing me to do them this evening. Mike Scott, your T-shirt is in the post.
Yeah, he's actually, he's at back of the nest. He's one of us.
So you can drop it off personally?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Mike, are we with you very soon, my friends? That I can assure you.
Yeah.
We cannot. We do not have any T-shirts.
Well, we're Mike and I and a couple of others are meeting up with your colleague Aaron tomorrow night before the Man United game, so perhaps we can sort it out then. Maybe Aaron can take him a Love Sports
Nick, there. We haven't got any T-shirts.
Exactly.
You've got a plain T-shirt.
I'm not giving out my own T-shirts.
Go home shirtless.
For a while.
That is not how this works. I jokingly said we'll give away T-shirts. Because I haven't actually got any, I'm not going to start giving away my own clothing.
I sound like Uncle Albert. Many years ago, during my music days, I used to have a T-shirt made for me by Swerve Driver. And it was a Wombles T-shirt.
Yeah.
And they just crossed out Wombles and wrote Swerve Driver underneath it. Handmade, that was.
So you've got experience in the field.
Why can't I keep my mouth shut?
So Nick is nominating himself as chief T-shirt maker and distributor. No, DRs, that's good. It's your job. You make them, design them, DR... You distribute. Yep. Okay.
I'll design them. DR can iron them on.
I'm not sure I'd want anything ironed by DR.
Wow. Why?
Are you a good ironer, DR?
No.
Well, there we are. Exactly. Then. So why are you offended that I presumed you were not a good ironer?
All right. Let's go into listener questions.
Let's have some listener questions. DR, take us away. What's the first one, please, mate?
Yes. We've got a question from Matteo. Has James McArthur been listening to these pods because he's played a belter? Yeah, he had a pretty good game against Leicester, 2 assists. What do you make of his performance, Nick?
I think it was very good. I don't think his performances have actually dropped that much. I think I said last week that he's one of these players that will score 4, 5, 6, maybe up to 8 goals a season. You cannot fault his effort. And as we've said before about Max Meyer, possibly not quite fitting the system that we play at the moment. So Jimmy Mack is the perfect player for us at the moment. It's just strange that all these players that people are quoting are coming good. Look at Schlupp's come good for the last few games. He was getting coated. McArthur's getting coated. Who's not doing very? Who can we coat?
Who should I coat? Because every time I coat someone, it just happens. I coated Hennessy. That didn't really work.
That didn't work. No,
yeah, that didn't really
the
work.
Exception.
But we've still got a positive. Like, we're 2-1. Schlupp has worked. McArthur has worked.
I saw a lot of love for James Tompkins.
Yeah, he's just, him and Sacco are just brilliant.
But naturally, I think, you know, Sacco is the former PSG, Liverpool, French international, he's on big money. He naturally probably takes, you know, not necessarily the plaudits, but people talk about him. People know how good he is. But I think James Tompkins has been superb. I see lots of, you know, the team of the weeks when it flies around, as it often does, how many of them he was in. And also, noticeably, a lot of West Ham fans all saying, why did we ever let this guy go? How good has Tompkins been lately?
I think Tompkins and Sacco, one of the best pairings that we've had, centre-back pairings. They're fantastic individually, but you have to also give credit to Roy. I think Roy has drilled the team well, that they don't really have as much to do as they would if we wasn't a well drilled team, if that makes sense. So credit to the coaching staff, but both fantastic players, and I think we're 5th in clean sheets kept this season.
Yeah,
so that's
decent
that's,
stat.
Yeah, that's great.
It's just a bit worrying what Dom was saying earlier that Mamadou might be out for the rest of the season, but you know, Kelly can go in and fill that if one of those two get injured. Yeah, you've got Scott Dan, Kelly and Tompkins. But Tompkins, he does look like
the line.
Yeah.
He does look like he was once in Supergrass, Tompkins.
It's not a bad look. Do you know who Supergrass are?
Nope.
Yeah. Okay, next question, please.
We got one from Palace Ash. He's lots Mate, of contact. Yeah,
Palace Ash has been on this show more than Nick.
Is he your dad?
No.
No, but in all seriousness, Palace Ash, thank you very much for the contributions. Keep them coming
in. Ash or Palace Sash?
It's Ash.
It is Ash.
It's not Palace Sash.
It's the way I'm saying it.
Yeah.
It might be your Leicester accent.
Palace Sash.
Yes, let me just say a question. Now that we're pulling away from the relegation zone, should we be hoping that Fulham start picking up points to drag Brighton into the mirror? I think that's a pretty easy question.
Yes.
Next question.
That one dealt with.
Yeah, next question by Si. If Leicester go down...
What?
Hold on a second.
Wait, let me just say the question and then...
Right.
If Leicester go down, we should look at Barnes.
This You're kid laughing.
Looks, this kid looks like a prospect.
Well, that's a stupid question.
Why?
Harvey Barnes is not going to go to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, we actually talked about this on a review show. First of all, he had a very good performance, but it was against Sherwood, who hasn't really played that many games this season. But yeah, I don't know. I have to see more of him.
Harvey Barnes is a superb young player. Was top goal scorer in the Toulon tournament last season. He's now in the England 21s. Obviously, you know, he was on loan at West Brom at the start of the season. Leicester recorded him. He's gone straight into our starting lineup. He's a Leicester lad through and through. Still a kid. He's a superb young player, and with all due respect, if we were going to get relegated, I don't think Harvey Barnes would be on the move anytime soon. But it also actually highlights the number of Leicester players, by the way, who are English and under the age of 22. Ben Chilwell, Tamari Gray, Hamza Chowdhury, Harvey Barnes, James Maddison, and then you throw on top of that Harry Maguire and Jamie Vardy. It's a pretty impressive English spine there at Leicester. But yeah, Harvey Barnes will be going nowhere. We can write that one off.
Are you saying that kind of like you talk as if you've got good players.
Yeah.
Now Puel's gone. Do you think that'll be you on the up? And could Puel go and manage Barcelona and make them rubbish?
No. What I was saying actually with Brian and James earlier is that to know when you've been in a very long-term relationship, and I would do this analogy here, of Leicester when we had Nigel Pearson, Claudio Ranieri and Craig Shakespeare, that Leicester had a very clear identity of the way that they played. However, that needed to be moved on. There was a group of players that that needed to be moved on, and we needed somebody to come in and help us get over that and help with the transition. And that's what Claude Puel did. He's brought through a number of young players. He's changed the way that we play, but unfortunately, he now can't take us to the next level. So that's where we say, Claude, do you know what? Thank you. You've been a lovely shoulder to cry on. But now I found someone better than you. And that's what happens. And that's Claude. Unfortunately, that's him as a manager. And it will happen to him a number of times in his life. He's a good coach, a good man. But he took us as far as he could. And that's the end of it.
I'd say Brendan Rodgers is a bit of a trophy girlfriend. But, you know.
Okay. If we, yeah, exactly. The kind of one I want to show off. And the one we're showing off this evening at the King Power Stadium. We've got a couple more listener questions. We'll come back to them, if that's okay, DR, before the end of the show. On for another half now. When we come back, we're going to look forward to your next Premier League game. It's against Manchester United. One of their former players, Andy Ritchie, is going to be on the phone.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
So, Crystal Palace, obviously going to be buoyed by that fantastic win over Leicester at the weekend. But, as ever, you cannot dwell on these things. The next Premier League game is never too far around the corner, and it's no easy one for Crystal Palace. They are at home, but they play Manchester United. Never easy, but certainly not so right now under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Absolutely flying they are. A delight to say, former Manchester United player Andy Ritchie is on the phone now. Andy, good evening.
Good evening.
So, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer Manchester United. I mean, I feel like I've asked this question to so many other people already, but could you honestly have predicted to see where Manchester United are right now and the way they're playing?
No, I don't think anybody could. But, you know, there's been that theory about, the games were helping him. They weren't the most difficult of games. But listen, I just think that any game in the Premier League now can be turned on its head. So you have to win those games. He's done that. He's been absolutely fantastic. Lost one of, I think, 14 that he's taken charge of. So, you know, it's just been a bit of a fairy tale, really, isn't it?
Yeah, to say the least, it's been absolutely incredible. Andy, look, you know, not only you're a former Manchester United player, and obviously professional player and striker, just like Ole Gunnar was, but also a manager. Have you ever experienced, noticed this kind of impact before?
I'm trying to rack my brains about that. There must have been similar impacts by a manager that have come in and changed the fortunes of teams, but I just can't, off the top of my head, bring one to mind. But it's been fantastic. Just the place itself, you know. I work on match days there, and the place that we work in the lounge that we work in, it's just everything is lifted. The whole club has been lifted.
Going into to this one, though, Andy, it's going to be, you keep talking about tests and things, people saying, oh, this is going to be the next one for Ollie. This is the next one he needs to get over. Now, the form is good. I think people are now starting to believe in his methods and starting to realise it's not just a bit of a honeymoon. There is maybe something a little bit special about what he's doing. But he's got a number of injuries, hasn't he, going into this one. So a different kind of test for Ollie Gunnar.
Well, I think as well, always a test at Crystal Palace, because it's one of those places where it's very, very partisan. The crowd are on top of you. You don't get time to think. They're in your face. They've had a great result at the weekend, so they're buoyed by that. And as you mentioned just then, he's got a hell of a lot of an injury list. I mean, I thought there was going to be four ambulances outside, not the team coaches at the end of the game at the weekend. Everybody was just dropping like flies. So he's going to have to make quite a few changes. He's going to have to bring people in, and he's talk about some of the youngsters being involved. But he's got lots of options, you know. And you've got up front, you've got Lukaku, and obviously Alexis Sanchez that will come in if Marcus is not able to make the team. And also, you know, at the back, he could probably maybe, you know, maybe put Ashley Young over on the right-hand side and play him as the right-hand side of the three up front, bring DeLo in. He's got options, so he's got a lot to think about.
Hello, Andy. How are you doing? We won't talk about when you were at Oldham and you kind of relegated Palace, because we do remember that. I'll forgive you, because it's been a lot of years. But I'm
doesn't
sure
sound like it.
No, I'm still scarred. But, you were talking about Ole kind of... Man United are a team, they've got such brilliant players. You could remember in the old days when the old Liverpool manager, Bob Paisley, used to apparently just tell the players, go out and play your game, and and the players knew what they had to do. Could it be that Ole's saying that because the time I've forgotten his name, he's completely gone out, he works for Portuguese TV now, he's completely disappeared off my football radar. Who was the manager before?
Mourinho,
that was the one. How the mighty have fallen.
I thought you were serious there.
It's just, how can a manager make a team with such superstars so rubbish? Do they really not want to play for him? We're talking about Leicester, player power, getting rid of Puel, perhaps. We know that he's had the problem at Chelsea before, where the Chelsea players weren't playing for Mourinho, is it?
Yeah.
What's going on with the game there?
There has been a cycle with Jose, though, hasn't there, at football clubs? In terms of that happening, I mean, he did obviously fall out big time with, the players at Chelsea. What I say at the moment is with Ollie is that he's brought back enjoyment to everything, you know, and that's from an outsider looking in. I've not been down to the training ground. I haven't seen what he's done in, you know, with the training. But for me, it just seems as though if you have a happy place of work, you give of your best, don't you? And even extra. It's not just football. It's wherever, you know, working for Love Sport Radio. If you've got a happy ship, everybody goes that extra mile to make everything work. And I think that's exactly, for me, seems to be what has happened. Everything is lifted. Everybody has just got that feel-good factor back. And then everybody's just working to their optimum and even more. I know he said in his press conference you can't do 110%, and I totally agree with him that. I've been saying that for years. But you're certainly getting 100% out of everybody.
Yeah, it's developing that intrinsic motivation, isn't it? That the players kind of build up themselves and get together as a team, and you've got that real team spirit. And if you've got managers,
I also think that he's said, listen, he's given the spirit of Manchester United, which was always attacking. You know that as a player playing against people, and you think, well, look, we've got to go out and play a certain way. yes, you've got to defend well as well, and you've got to have that that tactical awareness, which, listen, I think he's had that as well, you know, and that's down to not just himself, and he's said this himself, that it's down to the backroom staff that he's got there. They've been fantastic, and a big coup was getting the ex assistant manager back in Mike Phelan. I think that was an absolute masterstroke. So you know, it's not naive. It's not that you've just gone in and made everybody happy. Yeah, there's been a lot of tactical awareness behind that as well.
Hi, Andy. Sorry. Was he continuing?
Go on, mate. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Just quickly. United haven't. Palace haven't beat United in the Premier League. We've lost 15 times against and drawn 4. What do you rate Palace's chances tomorrow?
Listen, I think Palace are on a good run at the moment. Obviously, they have an absolutely fantastic manager. He's got so much experience, and you're just talking about tactical awareness with Ollie and his backroom staff. Listen, Roy is second to none. He will know what he's got to do or what he wants to do, but it might be a little bit different for him tomorrow night because he might not know who he's coming up against.
Yeah.
In terms of the, you know, a couple of weeks ago, he'd have said, right, listen, it would have been Herrera, Matic and Pogba in the midfield. It might not be that now because Matic was missing at the weekend. It looks like Herrera could be missing. So he's got to maybe think on his feet tomorrow night when he first gets that team sheet, which is only, as you know, as well as I do, is an hour before kickoff. So it might be a little bit different. Listen, he knows basically how Manchester United are going to play, but whoever does get on that pitch, he knows that he's going to have a real tough time. But he will be saying, listen, you took apart Leicester at the weekend, which I know, and people will turn around and say, well, they were in a little bit of disarray. Obviously, Puel left the club after that defeat, but it's all set up for a really, really interesting fixture with the injuries and the way that Palace are playing. I think it's going to be very, very tough for Manchester United.
You can't beat Selhurst under the lights, I tell you. And of course, the players that you've got coming in, replacing your Lingards and your Matters and your Marshalls, are going to be wanting to prove themselves and actually try and keep those players out of the team while they're injured.
That's it. And I think, you know, the manager has said in his press conference yesterday that should be the case. You know, you know as well as I do, when you're at a football club, your best mate with the person that's sat in that dressing room next to you. But you also have to want to oust them out of the team and keep them out of the team. That's what is healthy about football. You've got to be big mates, but you're also the enemy, if you like. you know, but that's the way of football. It always has been that, you know, and you've got to say, right, I'm staying in this team now. Unfortunately, my mate's got injured, but you're not getting back in, pal.
Okay, so Andy, just very, very quickly then, before we let you go, can you give us a score prediction, please?
I'm going to stick my neck out. I think United will win 2-1.
Okay, top man. Andy, thank you very much.
Sorry, I know you didn't want to hear that.
No, look, that's your, much rather you do that than sit on the fence. Top man, thanks for your time, Andy. That was Andy Ritchie there, the former Manchester United player. Going to take a break before we leave you at 9 p.m. this evening. We're going to rattle off the last three of those listener questions and also get the chaps in the studio's take ahead of that game.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
DR, you said no more list of questions, right? We're done for the week.
It's done for. Yep.
But please keep them coming in. We'll go through them again next week. Just been speaking to Andrew Ritchie, former Man United striker. Still working at the club, still very much involved and gets the feel and the sense. And I think that's kind of important. Do you know, when you talk to ex-players, and don't get me wrong, they're still fans of the club. They still take a keen interest in it. But when you've got someone like that who still is in there, still there kind of week in, week out.
Yeah.
particularly what have you got going on at Manchester United right now? He's got a fairly kind of decent idea of what's going on there.
Yeah, it's like we've got the same with Mark Bright. I know he works with the under-23s, but you can sense when he's on media just his enthusiasm for the team and the game, can't you, Dio?
Yeah, and also you get a sense of what the atmosphere is like at the camp, you know, because they're actually at the club, they know what's going on. So, yeah, it sounded like, you know, United have turned it around. Mm. You can see that by performances, but also, you know, the mood at the camp, it seems good. So it'll be a hard game, but United potentially have 10 players out injured. So I don't think, well, people normally say it's a free hit. If you know, it's not a free hit anymore, because this is the best opportunity that we'll potentially get. Having three players out will be good, but having 10 out injured and key players as well, this is a fantastic opportunity for us.
That's interesting you say that there, because regardless of the 10 players, Nick, you're putting a different face.
Yes.
But I think that shows how confident that DR and Palace are right now going into this game.
I would have been this morning had I not... I knew Sacco might have been a bit iffy, but I'd have said that he'd have been the one that would be looking after, in inverted commas, Lukaku.
Mm.
Still no Wan-Bissaka. You know, you've got that danger coming down the wings with Man United. We saw the other day that Joel Ward can put in a shift, but he hasn't got that pace. That's the only thing that worries me.
I think Martin Kelly, if he does end up playing tomorrow and if he is fit, I'm not that worried if he does play, because people, yes, Sacco is a brilliant player and he's better than Martin Kelly, but Martin Kelly has had some brilliant performances. Considering he's only played limited minutes, he just comes in there and does a fantastic job. So I'm not that worried. I think Martin Kelly's done a fantastic job. And we have Tompkins next to Martin Kelly as well, who I think can handle Lukaku. And on the defensive side of things, I'm not as worried. Of course, Wan-Bissaka might be a bigger miss, because Joel will struggle against Barnes, and it'll be interesting to see what he does against United. But defensive side of things, Roy, you know, he will have us set up good.
What has helped is the fact that Kelly and Dan have played recently, so it's not like either of them whoever fills in would be coming in completely cold. So that does help.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing is that Scott, like before Scott Dan's injury, people would have said Scott Dan over Martin Kelly, but it's kind of switched now. It's like Martin Kelly is given the nod, and it's crazy because before Scott Dan's injury and even before his captaincy, where he slightly went downhill, he was a fantastic player for us and he played a vital role. But now Scott Dan's linked with the likes of Fulham and he can't get, you know, he's a fourth choice right centre back. So that's that. You know, football's a crazy game, and you can see a bit of injury, a bit of form, and everything can just switch. And that's what's happened with Scott Dan. Now he's just fourth choice, but he's still a good choice to have on the bench.
Luke Freeman, by the way, has just given QPR the lead against Leeds. You can understand why that didn't quite go right. Yeah, huge result if they managed to hold on to that, but still loads of time to be played, just 49 minutes on the clock, but QPR leading, that'd be a huge result, wouldn't it, if they could turn around the poor form they've been on in 2019. But we talked about those injury problems that Manchester United have got. A huge one for me is that Rashford is a huge doubt. Not necessarily that Rashford's going to be missing, as much as I rate him. The big one is that Lukaku comes back in. And he, out of all the players, we've talked about this resurgence of how brilliant Manchester United have been under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. The two players who perhaps haven't done it are Lukaku and Alexis Sanchez, who look like they're going to get their opportunity this weekend.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because then players will want to prove themselves. And it's a good opportunity against Palace, where they're going to be looking at it as a weak opposition. Of course, they're not going to be fools. Well, hopefully they will be, but I doubt they'll be fools and just relax. So yeah, them two players are going to want to prove themselves right, and that's the interesting thing. It depends on where Alexis Sanchez plays. If he plays against Joel Ward, I can see Joel Ward struggling, and that could just switch Alexis Sanchez and could turn his form around. So hopefully Joel Ward has a good game if Alexis Sanchez is allocated to his side. But that's the only little worry I've got. Apart from that, defensively, I think we're fine.
Who are you going to put in the midfield, DR?
I'll keep it the same as Leicester, Luka, Maka,
Schlupp,
and yeah, Schlupp
stays in.
Yeah, Schlupp stays in. It's hats off to Schlupp, because I've discredited him a lot of times, but I had reasons. He wasn't consistent. Now he's playing a bit more consistently. He's not having one good game and 10 bad games. He's had a good little run of form, and if he keeps up, he's going to be a vital player, and he's keeping out a very good player in Max Meyer on the bench. So he's doing a fantastic job, and he's a physical player, so it'll be good to have him against United. But yeah, I'll keep the same three midfield.
What about you, Nick? What do you do?
Yeah, I'd keep Schlupping there just because he's, again, a couple of times against Leicester, he got back really quickly and made some excellent, excellent tackles when Leicester looked threatening. So he kind of, although he's a threat going forward, and I think we spoke about it last week, he's a kind of everywhere player. I'd like to see Meyer on against a big team. I'm not saying Leicester aren't big, but I am actually. But
that's exactly what you just said. You're sat right here.
Two more minutes, Nick, and you just couldn't hold yourself. But Meyer, he has played well against a good team. So if Meyer does come in, I won't be that worried. Against Man City, he was fantastic defensively and going forward. But then the following game, he got dropped, which I don't understand why. And then he didn't get selected against Chelsea, which we were abysmal against. So I won't be that worried if Meyer starts. I think he can perform against any team because he's a quality player. And when he joined us, we expected him to play as he has done so far with the limited opportunities. So yeah, Meyer didn't. Did Meyer come on against Leicester? I can't even remember.
No, he didn't.
He didn't come on against Leicester. Yeah, so that's interesting. Kouyaté is another player that was a starter before his injury, so he could potentially start against United, and that will give us more strength in midfield.
What's really pleasing is the fact that we've got these choices. That there have been points in the season where we've put out the bare 11 because of injuries or whatever. The fact that we've got other players that can fill in is brilliant. 2-0 Palace, before you ask.
what?
Nick, I'm going to... before we go this evening, yep, can I have your score prediction, please?
I reckon 2-0 Palace.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Producer Paddy, Manchester United fan, is putting a face. I feel like he doesn't agree, but why would he?
Exactly.
He's a Manchester United fan. DR, what's your prediction, please, mate?
2-1 Palace. I can see Palace going 1-0 down and then scoring 2 goals.
Well, that's your prediction, and nobody can disagree with that because we're all entitled to our opinions, and we'll find out next week if you are right. DR, Nick, thank you very much. Look forward to next week's DR-isms. Please come back with your statistics. Yeah. I want to know how much you weigh. I want to know how many push-ups you've done, okay?
Yep.
Top man. Chaps, absolute pleasure. The Crystal Palace Fan Show. We'll be back next week at the same time here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.